This morning I've noticed a couple of things. Number one, we have a good crowd this morning, and we're appreciative of each individual who is here, especially if you are visiting. And another thing that I noticed is that old Bob Ford looks good in a blue suit and a red tie. He looks good. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. There are two phrases in that verse that let us know that the cross of Calvary was an event of anguish and agony and cruelty and suffering. The text says that Jesus endured the cross and that he despised the shame. As we think about that, we ask this question: why? Why would he do that? Why would he hang for 6 hours suspended upon a Roman cross? Why endure such suffering and anguish and hardship and the shame of being hanging there before the masses as if he were a criminal? The reason is also given in Hebrews 12:2. The Bible says that he did it for the joy that was set before him. Our Lord could look down the quarters of time and he could see the benefits of his vicarious sacrificial death on behalf of mankind. He could see the many blessings that would be bestowed upon humanity, and that would fill his heart with great joy as he hung on the cross of Calvary. My friends, because of the cross of Calvary, you and I are extremely blessed. Amen. Last week we began a lesson entitled, Because of the Cross. And as we began to look at that particular statement, we would finish it with some of the blessings that are ours to enjoy. Because of the cross, I know that I am loved. Amen. Because of the cross, I know that I am forgiven. Amen. Because of the cross of Calvary, I know that my life has purpose. I have a reason to live. Because of the cross, I know that when I am sinned against by others, that I can forgive them. And because of the cross, I have a perfect, perfect example of obedience. Amen. This morning, we want to continue this line of thinking about the blessings surrounding the cross of Calvary. We've entitled our lesson, Because of the Cross, Part 2. But because of the cross of Calvary, I as a human being can be complete. Amen. Colossians 2:10 says, And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principalities and powers. We are complete. Where? In Christ. Because of the cross of Calvary, I am complete. But what does that mean? Strong says that the word complete means furnished, satisfied, filled, and filled up. Thayer comments on the word complete and he embellishes it with an even greater definition. He says that it means to make full, to make abound, to furnish and supply with complete liberality. My friends, you and I in Christ are full. We don't have need of anything. We have all that we could possibly need. Every need is satisfied because of the cross. We could say it like this. Without the cross of Calvary and without our Lord Jesus Christ, we are incomplete and we are lacking in many areas. Have you ever thought about the areas and the places wherein Christ has made our lives complete? Our Lord and Savior, through pardon and through righteousness, has taken care of our sin problem, has He not? Amen. Prior to Christ, the world had a heart problem and it had a behavior problem, but our Lord has come and He has bestowed purity and holiness in those areas. Mankind had a mind problem. They had a thinking problem. And because we are in Christ, that too can be corrected, because now we have divine wisdom and divine knowledge. Amen. We used to have a conscience that was guilty and burdened and labored because of sin and iniquity, but not so, not because of what we've done, but because of the cross, we can have consolation and peace. Amen. In our trials, we can have strength and support. And as you and I face an unknown future, not knowing what the very next moment is going to transpire, is going to bring in our lives, we can have courage and great hope, can we not? My friends, the Bible says that Jesus is the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1:23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. I shall not want for anything. Why? Because in Him I am full and complete and satisfied. Because of the cross. Point number two. Because of the cross, we have hope for the future. Amen. Yesterday, some of us went out door knocking. And folks, every time I go out and knock doors, there's always one or two or three people that I see, and when I see them, it just seems as though they are the very picture of individuals with no hope. Went to one man's house, and he was outside. Very, very thin man. Older gentleman. No shirt on. Shaking in his hands. And just puffing away on a cigarette. Started to walk up to him at his porch, and he looks at me and he says, "No, no, 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 no." I knew then I need to get off that porch. But as I left, I thought, you know, there's a picture of no hope. No hope. Went down the street, came back to the other side, and I came into this one house, and there were a group of six individuals outside working on a tire. I don't know if it takes six to change a tire or not, but six folks. Now, folks, let me tell you, they were kind of unkempt, and I understand it was early in the morning, but the language they were using and the way they were talking to one another and the anger sometimes that they would display in just the course of their conversation. As I left those individuals again in my mind, I thought, no hope, no hope. You see, individuals like that have one thing and one thing only for which they are living, and that is for today. That is for this world and this world only. That's their hope. Paul said that even if we are in Christ, if the only hope that we have is in this world, then guess what is associated with it? Misery. For if in this world only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. 1 Corinthians 15:19. Sir Thomas Scott was lying on his deathbed. And he spoke his dying words, and his dying words were these: I have thought up until this point that there is no death and no hell. Now I know that both exist, and I am doomed. There's a man who lived his life with no hope. My friends, the graves for those individuals are the end in their mind. Isn't that true? I'll live my life, I'll die, they'll throw me in a hole, they'll cover me up, and I'll just be forgotten. There's their hope. Not so for the child of the living God. Why? Because of the cross. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. In his death, Jesus destroyed the one that has the power of death, that is the devil, and made us able to conquer our fear of death. Why? There is hope beyond the grave. That's why. Because of the cross. The hope that you and I have has absolutely nothing to do with this world. My friends, it is high time that you and I as Christians quit spending so much time doing the things of the world and not the things focused upon the hereafter. Because our hope is something not seen, isn't it?
Amen.
What are we hoping for? I'm hoping for the return of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope involves a resurrection from the dead. Oh yes, this body's going to go into the bosom of this earth. It's going to be covered with dirt. It's going back to the dust. It's going to disintegrate, but guess what? It's not going to stay there. It's coming out. Acts 23:6. For the hope of the resurrection of the dead, Paul said, I am called into question. Just this morning, Gil read in our hearing 1 Corinthians 15:51-54. Folks, guess what we have? We have hope of a glorified, changed, immortal body. Don't we? What a body that will be. A body likened to the very one that the Son of God has even at this present time. 1 John 3:1-2. I have hope of a place called heaven. Colossians 1:5. I have hope of living there not for a brief period of time, but for an eternity. Titus 1:2. As a Christian, because of the cross, I have hope beyond this life.
Amen.
Point number three. Because of the cross, I can be the Lord's at His coming.
Amen.
Jesus is coming again, folks. Jesus is coming again. The angels stood there looking at the apostles as they watched him ascend into heaven, and they said, why stand ye gazing into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. He is coming again. Acts 1:11. And guess who he's coming for? He's coming for those that are his. When Jesus comes again, we made mention that the dead are going to be raised from the graves. I find interesting in 1 Corinthians 15:23 that there is an order to that resurrection. Paul writes, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Now listen to this. Afterward, they that are his at his coming. The first ones from the dead. The first ones to be resurrected. The first ones to come forth, never to die again, are who? Christians, that's who. Those that are Jesus's at his coming. Well, what if we're still living? There's good news. You're next. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise what? First. The Bible says that's what we just said, wasn't it? Now listen. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17. The Lord is coming back. Who is He coming for? He's coming for His own. That's who He's coming for. And I can be His at His coming. What a thought, folks. He's coming back for me. That's who He's coming back for. Those that are His. When you turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy, or 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The Bible says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Listen to this. The Lord knoweth them that are His. There's no doubt in His mind, folks, who are His. He knows exactly who you are and who you ain't. And there are many who are not. For you see, you and I have to do something to be a part of the His category. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Those are the His. Those are the children of God. Those are the one that He's coming back for. The obedient. Those who conform themselves to His will and do His commandments and abide in His word. That's who He's looking for, folks. Are you in that category? I hope so. Point number four. Because of the cross, every one of us can have friends forever and ever and ever. Now there's a little twist, isn't it? June 20th, 1996. My father died and left this world. Just last week, I opened up my email and I was reading through there. A friend of mine from Brooklyn, Arkansas, had typed the name Shirley Mathis. Shirley Mathis is a good friend of ours. From over in Brooklyn. Open it up and it says this. Shirley Mathis has passed away due to brain cancer. Have you had good friends in Christ who have died? Have you had relatives in Christ who have died? Is that all there is? Are we never going to see them again? Is the friendship now severed and all I have is a bunch of good memories about that individual? The answer to those questions are no, no, no. Oh yes, death is a temporary separation of the physical friendship, is it not? That individual has closed his eyes in death and right now I'm not able to see him. I can't call him. I can't talk to her or him. I'm not able to enjoy that fellowship one with another, but that friendship has not come to an end. I want you to look at two verses. One of them is Ecclesiastes 12:7. Ecclesiastes 12:7. Then shall the dust return unto the earth as it was, and the spirit unto God who gave it. The second passage is found back over in 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 4, 13 and 14. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica. Here are a group of individuals who know that Paul has said that Jesus is coming back. They thought Jesus is coming soon. Any day, any minute. And they were constantly thinking about it, pondering that imminent return that they thought was coming. And one of their question was this: what about the dead? There's individuals, loved ones, friends of ours who died in Christ. What about the dead? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as them which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with Him. Now what have we said in those two verses? We've said this. Number one, death is not an annihilation. Death is not a complete, total destruction of the individual. It is a separation, is it not? It is a separation of the body from the spirit. The body goes into the earth, yes, but the spirit goes where? To God who gave it. My friends, the dead have not ceased to exist. They're just in another place, a place that you and I cannot see, a holding place for all of the dead. That's where they are. And when Jesus comes again, guess what? The Bible says He will bring them back with Him. Remember that glorified body? Those dead ones in Christ are going to be raised what? First. That spirit will inhabit that new glorified body. Those individuals are going to what? Live again. If I'm dead at that time, I too will live again. If I am living upon the face of the earth at that time, I will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and caught up with all the redeemed of all the ages to live there forever and ever. What a grand reunion. I get to see my dad again and be with him forever. I get to see Shirley Mathis again and be with her forever. And the same is true of all those who die in Christ. Friends forever and ever and ever. I got some close friends, folks, from other churches that I'll never see again until, guess when? Until I get to heaven with them. But those friendships are not dead. Because of the cross, we can have friends forever. Question: are these wonderful blessings?
Amen.
You know, folks, I'm pretty doctrinally oriented. I know that. I think doctrine's extremely important. And I may not always be the most eloquent in presenting positive, uplifting sermons about the blessings of God. But, folks, how in the world can you hear these and not just have chills run down your spine? Question number two: do you really believe in the promises of God?
Amen.
Do you really hold them dear?
Amen.
In your heart every day? Now, I want you to answer those questions honestly. Do you believe in them? Do you hold them dear to your heart?
Amen.
If you say yes, be careful. Already got one amen out there. I know who he is. If we really believe it, why don't we get out and tell others about it? And I, brethren, came not to you with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Christ Jesus and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2. Paul understood the blessings of the cross. Paul understood the benefits that we've received and how that we are full and complete and have need of absolutely nothing in Christ Jesus, my friends. And guess what? That knowledge and those blessings and that grace that God had given unto him propelled him every day to do what? Preach Christ Jesus and him crucified. I can just see Paul entering into a town, mounting a platform above the city, and shouting out unto the masses, because of the cross, do you need to respond to the Lord's invitation? My friends, what great things He's done for us. Now we need to live for Him. Are you an erring child of God? Do you need to repent of sins, confess the sweet name of Jesus, or confess your sins and ask God to forgive you? Won't you do that this morning? Maybe you're not a Christian. You believe, but you need to repent of sins, confess His name, and be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins. Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. Won't you come as we stand and sing?